Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that you will so mold and shape the clay of our lives that what we are, what we do, will please you. We want our lives to become a living sacrifice for your glory. And yet we're going to confess today, we cannot do that in our own strength. We need your grace, and we pray you'll help us understand that better as we study your scripture today, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. A staff member's daughter was having a prayer with her visiting grandma recently. And before they began, she said, "Grandma, let's ask God to help me be a good girl, because he hasn't been doing a very good job." That's exactly what many of us feel who have been Christians for years. We've shared this common struggle reflected in this little girl's prayer. In our hearts, we want to be good. We want to be all that God calls us to be. And yet our track record indicates that no matter how hard we try, we're not making it. We're not as good as God demands us to be, or even as good as we want to be. Personally, I've struggled for years with this issue. If the goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus Christ, and that is the goal we have for every one of you here, that's the purpose of every worship service, every class, to make us like Jesus, and we've tried and failed to achieve this goal in our own strength, what do we do? Is it our responsibility to live a perfect Christian life, or is it God's responsibility to make us like His Son? My wife and I visited a gallery where a sculptor was working on a piece of clay. All around the gallery, the artist's finished works were on display. Suddenly, the idea of the potter and the clay seemed to offer a solution to this struggle between our call to become like Jesus and our total inability to reach that goal in our own strength. So I went to the scriptures, and that's what we're going to study today, of what the Bible says about the potter and the clay. A first step in dealing with our journey, and that's what it is, a journey toward Christ-likeness or Christian maturity, is to recognize that God is the potter and we're the clay. As Isaiah tells us, "You, God, are the potter, we're the clay, we are all the work of your hand," and that means we're not the product of self-effort. Becoming like Jesus is not and never has been our personal responsibility. The greatest heresy in the church, beginning in the letter to the Galatians, if you remember, is the belief that the Christian life is somehow a contract between God and us. We perform well, and God rewards us with all kinds of good things in this life, and ultimately with eternal life. Jesus came because that's exactly what we cannot do. The Old Testament people had the contract, they had the law, God made the promise, but nobody was keeping the law. And that's why Jesus had to come. We cannot perform according to God's standards. The good news of the gospel that we preach here every week is that Jesus lived the perfect life for us, and we share His perfection by trusting Him as Savior. Today we'll be baptizing some adults. It means they finally, at a point in their life, started to trust Jesus for a righteousness without which they cannot please God and they can't get to heaven. And they can't do it in their own willpower or effort. And so they've trusted Jesus. As followers of Jesus, do we realize all God asks from us is the desire to be like Jesus? That's what God looks at, our heart. And God's responsible for molding the character of His Son into us. Your task, my task as a disciple then, is to yield to the artistic hand of the sculptor and to stop trying by willpower and hard work to earn His love, because we already have it. And God loves us as much right now as He ever will, no matter how we perform. To yield is really the work of the Christian life. To yield is to trust that God is using every event in your life this morning to mold you into that design He has ultimately planned for you. There's nothing wasted. To yield is to make peace and find comfort in the fact that God's methods and His timing for making you like His Son may not follow your agenda, and it will include pain, and it will not be the same process He uses to mold the lives of others here in this church. But I would offer again that yielding is the primary work of the Christian life. 2 Corinthians we read, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God, it's not from us. And I wonder how many times we come to worship with our balloons deflated because we've tried so hard and we just haven't made it, and we feel that God doesn't love us or shouldn't love us, and we can't measure up, and we live in a constant state of a feeling of failure, of frustration. Imagine, and last night in our children's sermon we had some Play-Doh out here. Imagine if you had Play-Doh, and Play-Doh attempted to carve itself into a beautiful work of art. Without the sculptor, the clay would always remain a formless mass, and that's how we are in struggling to become the perfect Christian. The day we visited the sculptor, I had this insight. He was working on a beautiful piece, it was a horse with an Indian on it, and it was going to just be gorgeous. And I asked him how he develops a design for one of his works, and he said, I begin with an idea in my mind, and then I mold the clay to match the design in my mind. I don't know about you, but that seemed incredible to me, because here is a block of clay, formless, and I can't imagine somebody being so gifted that they can have a picture of what that block of clay can become in their mind, and then they make it happen. And then I thought, that's how you and I start in life. We're sort of a formless block of clay. And then God begins His carving process, and He makes each of us a unique piece of beauty. And that's the process you're going through right now. The problem is that most of us have very big trouble yielding to that hand that carves us. One life-changing discovery that I've made in my Christian journey, and I really think I've done this finally, is to accept the fact that God and God alone is the sculptor of my life. And He chooses the course my life will take. And it's not my responsibility to create the design or set the goal. God has done that. I belong to Him. My responsibility as a follower of Jesus is nothing more than to yield in trust to the methods and the timing God has chosen to make Gerber what I should become in His mind, not mine. And that leads us to a second fact about the potter and the clay. Yielding is work. This is the stress of the Christian life. This is where we sweat in following Jesus. You see, God uses surprising and even painful means to mold us into the likeness of His Son. And many times we're tempted to question a process that seems to be destroying us rather than molding us. You know, it's easy to wonder where God's love fits into hard times and testings, and pain, particularly when it appears that other Christians have it better than we do. It's so easy to compare ourselves to other Christians, other pieces of God's work. And if we're normal Christians, we ask God, why do your other children have it so much easier than I do? Others who don't have financial, physical, and emotional problems like you've made me endure? Why is it that others have marriages and children that bring them nothing but happiness while mine brings nothing but pain? Why is it that others have physical beauty and social skills and you give them friends and a richer life than I enjoy? In other words, we're saying to God, I don't like your molding process. I'm not sure I want to be like Jesus if this is what it takes. I don't want to yield to you. You know, as I watch the sculptor work, and I haven't had many opportunities to watch one at work, he had these very fine tools. And what he did is he sat there, he kept taking things away from the block of clay. The actual carving happened by removing. And sometimes he'd take clay and stick it on, but most of the time he took things away so that the ultimate design could happen. I wonder what he's taken away from you. I wonder how much it hurt. I wonder if it was hard for you to believe that what he took away was really part of the design for you that you're going to bear for all eternity. That's yielding, and that's hard. It takes a lot of faith. Paul, in his wisdom to the Romans, hits us between the eyes when we're struggling with it. He says, "But who are you, O man or woman, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use?" In other words, God is sovereign. He is Lord. He's in charge of your life, and you're a unique original. God just doesn't make us all rubber stamps of each other. At the sculptor's studio that day, I noticed, in fact, that every work was unique, and that's what made them so expensive. Everyone was a non-reproducible, that's a good word, original. God's plan for you today is to be unique. And maybe in this world it's gone tough with you, but I guarantee you in heaven, because this is a promise from Scripture, you're going to be beautiful, even if you haven't liked the course, the methods, the carving God has used to get you what He wants you to be forever. I would suggest it's wasted energy to compare and moan and complain about the individual road your life is taking toward God's ultimate plan for you. Resisting the potter's hand is one reason some Christians are chronically miserable and full of criticism. On the other hand, we all know Christians who yield in trust to God's molding hand, and they have joy even in the most awful of circumstances. You know Ted Kanis, he was here last night at 5 o'clock. He told us recently, he's a deacon in our church, he told his story about coping with the molding hand of God in his life. He was forced to close his business of 37 years. He was involved in a lawsuit. His father died, and then he was diagnosed with incurable cancer, all within a very short period. And in a tract that he just published, Ted tells his reaction to the molding hand of God, and I quote, "I am thankful for the glorious gift of faith that God has built up in me to my joyous surprise. The constancy in providing for our financial needs, for taking away our fear and giving us His peace, for showing me the tremendous real power of prayer. And listen to this, I'm certain that God brought me here today. It's part of His plan. He's preparing me and He's preparing you to be with Him today and forever. So be thankful." Folks, that's yielding. That's the work of the Christian faith. Yielding to the potter's hand is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit working in us. And it's made easier when we hold to this confidence that God's design for you is good, it's not for evil. His design is to give you a future and a hope, no matter how intense the storm might be right now. That leads us to a third truth about the potter and the clay. It takes time for the potter to create his design. Growing into the likeness of Jesus is a lifelong journey, and it involves many detours. I asked the sculptor how long he had been working on the particular piece that I saw in front of me that day. He said he started 2 years ago, and he still wasn't finished. He said sometimes he works very intensely on it, and then for weeks or months he doesn't touch it. And sometimes right in the middle of the process, he takes the clay, puts it back into a formless mass, and starts all over again. You see, while the clay is still moist, he can erase mistakes made in the process. That's so reassuring. None of us do a perfect job of trusting and yielding and obeying, no matter how much we love Jesus. Many times we resist that hand of the potter. We're going to go our own way. We complain, we murmur. And through rebellion, we often mar or even destroy the potter's design. You know the good news? The good news is that we can't ever foul up the clay of our lives so badly that the potter can't remold us with his forgiveness and his grace into a work of beauty. No matter how badly we've messed up, if we belong to Jesus, we can't ever lose our salvation. I learned that when the sculptor's work is finally complete, the clay is allowed to dry so that a bronze casting of the design can be made. And this casting is permanent, and it's so much more beautiful than the clay. In fact, the clay mold is destroyed, and all that's left is the bronze casting. I was walking the other day over in Atherton, and I noticed a life-size bronze statue of a father pushing a child on a bicycle. Color had been added so that you had to look twice to make sure it wasn't real. And I thought, this work of art symbolizes how all of us will look one day in heaven when God's finished the process on us. He will have added all the color that seems so lacking right now on the clay, and the final design in our lives will be beautiful. God guarantees it. The metaphor of the potter and the clay, I hope, can release us from worry and labor in our attempts to become perfect Christians. I hope it'll encourage some of you whose lives have been so marred by disease or by divorce or by pain or by sin to know that nothing is so affected by sin that God can't remold it and make it perfect. I want you to know that God's plan for you cannot be destroyed by hardship. I hope you'll be encouraged then to persevere in hard times. I hope you'll understand the perfect Christian is one who simply trusts and yields to the loving hands of the potter without complaining about the process. God knows what he's doing with you. He's in control. And the good news is, one day in heaven, the Bible says you'll be cast not in bronze, but in gold. And you're going to bear the likeness of Jesus forever. This promise is articulated by Job. Do you remember it? God knows the way that I take, but when he's tested me, I will come forth as gold. That's your destiny. And I trust you're going to find encouragement this week as you follow Jesus. You still fail. We'll still fall on our face. And we'll still have confidence that in grace he picks it up and he remolds us. And that one day, in spite of the struggle, we're going to be like Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, today we want to tell you that at least it's our heart desire that we be like you every moment of every day. We want to be clay in your hands. We want to yield. Help us, oh God. Give us new faith, new confidence that you're in control of the course of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name.